Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You're listening to Wound Wrap with Dr. Doug Friesen on the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
Welcome to the very first episode of the Wound Wrap Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Doug Friesen, a general surgeon for 25 years and medical director of a wound center for the past 11 years. Why another podcast? Well, there are 36 million Americans with diabetes and millions more with insulin resistance. Of those, 7 to 9 million will develop wounds sometime in their lifetime, and 20% of those 7 to 9 million will end up with an amputation, and most of the time this is below the knee. It is these facts that get me up in the morning, and I have a sense of urgency to help people heal their wounds. So our goal on this podcast is going to be to inform patients, to empower patients, family, nurses, and caretakers of diabetics as well as those with other wounds. We'll give you questions to ask your doctor, encourage you to go to a nearby wound center if you need one, and give you some facts. The content of this podcast is intended for general education only and is not medical advice. Listeners should seek their individual care from their own physician, and particular results from this general information is not guaranteed, and your own success may not be typical. Content presented is not on behalf of any organization unless otherwise disclosed. And I am not receiving compensation, and there are no paid ads or any money coming from affiliate links. I'm not a journalist, and I'll make some mistakes on this, and I hope you hang with me on it. But I get up every day and I take care of people who have serious wounds, and I just want to do my very best to help everyone who has a wound and those that are taking care of them. So hang with us. We're going to have some great people. I think you'll enjoy it. Our very first guest today is Donna Williamson, and she's director of the Inpatient Wound Center here at Mercy Rogers in Rogers, Arkansas. Donna, tell us a little bit about what you do in your position.
Well, I'm the manager of a department of four full-time staff, and we are responsible for all of the wound care consults that are ordered for any of the inpatients that come into our wound care center. Occasionally, we do have some patients that are admitted directly from outpatient wound care center, and we have the luxury of having a good relationship with the staff over there, so we can be given a heads up on what's going on with that patient, so we're not just surprised with them. That's always very helpful.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your education. What did you do to get to this position?
Well, I have 38 years experience as an RN and 5 years as a nurse practitioner, and I've been doing wound care full time for 18 years. I got certified as a wound ostomy continence nurse 10 years ago, and I've been a certified wound specialist for 18 years, and I love wounds. There's a lot of satisfaction in taking people who have given up hope about something that nobody else wants to deal with and actually taking care of it, and you form pretty good relationships with them and help them heal.
It is interesting when someone has a wound. You know, I often think about one of the last things that Jesus did with his disciples was to wash their feet. It's a humbling experience. And in that regard, let's think about what you do every day. So somebody has a foot wound and you get a consult. Walk us through the process. You walk in the room, and then what are you thinking? What are the kind of things you do? What's your method?
Well, for anybody who's got a lower extremity wound of any kind, whether it's foot or even just lower limb, whether I know they have diabetes or arterial disease or not, one of the first things that I do is I go in and I assess whether or not I can palpate their pulses. If I can't palpate their pulses, then I have a Doppler on my cart and I take that in and I listen to their blood flow. because the most important thing above all is that if a patient does not have blood flow to an extremity, I can throw the fanciest things in the world at it and it's not going to heal. We have to have blood flow. Diabetic control is important. Good dressing choice is important. Getting debridements early is important, but nothing replaces having blood flow. So that's the first thing I look at.
Yeah, I love that because that's obviously when we breathe, that's how the wound gets oxygen. That's how if we eat a piece of meat and we have protein, protein gets there by the bloodstream.
Right.
So that's really important.
Or doesn't if they have a lack
of. Or doesn't if there's a lack of, for sure. Well, Donna, you and I have worked on a lot of wounds. There are some other things, too, like we need to make sure that the venous supply takes the blood away, right?
Right.
That if they have, or if they have edema, we sometimes have to work on swelling.
Right, and that's kind of tough for some of the patients because we do get a lot of people admitted to the hospital that have obvious venous leg disease. They've got chronic venous insufficiency. They have the staining. They have the varicose veins. They have everything that points to the fact that they have venous leg ulcers. And convincing patients that the way to prevent them from coming back once you get them healed is to be in appropriate compression is very hard. Patients don't want to be in compression. They especially don't want to be in it during the summer. And it's hard sometimes to prove to them that that's the gold standard of treatment for these kind of ulcers.
It's a lot easier in the winter than it is in the summer, for
sure. It sure is.
Yeah. That stuff is really hot. So we're going to go back to our diabetic wound. So if you have a diabetic wound and you look at it and it has some things on it that probably need to be removed, how do you get them off? Do you debride or talk to us through about that?
Part of that depends on whether or not the patient has sensation or not, because a lot of diabetics have neuropathy and they can't feel it. So it's safe for me to do some debridement at the bedside, which I can do, but I can't do a significant level that some patients require. There are a lot of patients that we have to do consults with podiatry or orthopedics who specialize in lower extremities and ask them to debride them for them because even as a nurse practitioner, I'm limited to what I can do in the hospital. So I try to get appropriate consults and get the people the help that they need. And in the back of my mind, you know, you're always thinking of patients with diabetic foot ulcers about, is this a patient who's going to benefit from getting hyperbaric treatments?
Yeah.
Well, insurance in this state requires that they have a good, at least subcutaneous level debridement or better, and that starts their 30-day countdown for getting into hyperbarics. Well, if we can start that in the hospital instead of the delay of 2 or 3 weeks when they can finally get into the wound care center, then we've given them an advantage rather than it being a disservice. And,
yeah.
And sometimes that's hard, but that's what we try to do.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
It's a great service, Donna, that you provide there. And we work together on so many of those patients. So now you've debrided the patient, whether it be in the OR or whatever. So talk to us about what you think about in terms of maybe some kind of a dressing. Is it appropriate to say, hey, let's leave it open to air?
Oh, absolutely not. I don't think anybody should ever have a wound open to air because, for one thing, you don't know what's out in the air. You certainly don't know what's out in the environment of a hospital, and you really don't know what's in the environment of a patient once they go home. So I never recommend leaving a wound open to air unless it's a patient who's end of life, non-compliant. They're not going to do anything you tell them anyway, and then a scabbed over wound is a safer wound. Yeah. But dressing choice is always based on, should always be based on, what kind of drainage does it have? Are you trying to control the bacterial load? Are you trying to stimulate it because it's got, it's a chronic wound and it needs some stimulation? Do you need collagen? So the wound will tell you what it needs if you just pay attention. So that's kind of what everything is based on, is how much drainage does it have? What is our goal? Are we trying to protect the peri wound? Are we trying to fill in a deep wound?
We had, in medical school, we had, we often talked about dermatology was if it's wet, dry it, and if it's dry, wet it. And so sometimes you can kind of think about it that way, too.
Yeah, we're Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It's got to be just right.
Just right. That's right. Now, I love what you said about the don't leave it open to air. I think it's one of the things that in my practice I deal with the most. I mean, it's one of those misconceptions that's out there. If you're 8 years old, it probably doesn't matter what you do with the wound.
At 8 year old, you'll heal.
It'll heal pretty much whatever. But when we're not eight anymore, then we need to do everything we can to make it just perfect. So now you've debrided the wound. You've gotten rid of the things that are maybe the dead tissue. We call it necrotic, but that stuff that isn't alive anymore. Do you ever culture those wounds?
If there are signs of infection, for sure I would culture it. Now, if the wound's been open more than 30 days, I would not culture it unless it's been debrided first, because anything that's been open a long time is going to have a bunch of bacteria in it, whether it's a chronic infection or it's actually a critical infection. And that's kind of hard to tell the difference on. Most wounds, after a good debridement, if you get a culture of them and they're still growing bacteria, then that's what you need to be focusing on, because that's your problem child.
Yeah, we tend to do the debridement to get rid of the necrotic part from the top, and then do an actual tissue culture, because a swabber-dobber from the top of that isn't...
The way you guys do it here at the Wound Care Center is the gold standard. That's how it should be done everywhere. You can swab anything and get it to grow some bacteria, but that's not going to tell you what's really going on with the wound.
Yeah. So a moist environment.
Yes.
And that keeps it, gives it the best chance to heal.
Yes.
And then cover it with some kind of a, whether it be gauze and tape or something like that.
Sometimes we have to pick our dressings based on, is the patient going to be able to have home health? Is a family member going to do it? Are they coming to the wound care center? Are they going to a facility? Because all of those are going to play a role in what you ultimately decide on. The majority of the patients that we see at the hospital, our preference is to get case management involved from the very get-go and tell them that we want this patient to get an appointment at the wound care center and we want them to be seen by home health. Because one of the biggest misconceptions that we have found taking care of patients in the hospital is they all assume that if they have home health that they don't need to have a wound care doctor, and that is the worst mistake ever, because primary care doctors do not want to take care of wounds. They don't know how. They don't want to learn how. The doctors who do surgeries and things, they don't really want to manage that either. Wound care specialists, that's what they do every day. That's what they're good at. That's what they specialize in. And they can direct the home health to change orders as needed, to change treatments as needed, to decide if the patient needs to be hospitalized or not. Your regular primary care physician's not going to be able to do any of that.
I think that's one of the things that I want to get across to people from this podcast over and over. You'll hear me say, get to a good wound center, one that's reputable, one that's been around for a while, and find someone that really has a passion for helping you treat your wound. I think if you look at the outcomes, that definitely gives you the best chance at it, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing I really try to stress to my patients the most about why I'm wanting them to do this is because I kind of tell them, you know, Einstein's law of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting the same result. Well, your home health nurse has to follow the orders that she's given. They have orders that come from the hospital. Well, that may have worked for them week one. Well, now you're down to week two, three, four, five, and six, hopefully not that far. But that same treatment probably is having no effect whatsoever on that wound. And the only way to get the treatment changed is to have a doctor send in new orders. So patients that are seen weekly by the wound care center don't have to wait weeks to have their wound treatment changed, because they're not going to heal if the wound is not responding to it any longer. And wound care physicians such as yourself, you're not afraid to change the treatment every single week if that's what needed. You know that if that wound didn't make any difference in that week, continuing it another week or two is not going to matter.
That's right, especially if the patients are doing everything they need to.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about offloading. What does that mean to you, and tell us a little bit about what that means for a foot wound specifically.
Offloading is probably one of the top three things that a patient needs to do that has a wound on their foot. Mm-hmm. Because when you tell them that they need offloading, I personally in the past have used a lot of total contact casting, which is a great way to get patients offloaded because it's not removable, and patients are kind of obligated to keep it on until they come back the next week. But wearing some kind of an offloading shoe that takes the pressure off that wound, they got that wound because of all that pressure that was on it, striking it over and over again every time they walk. You know, they're going to need to be sent to someone who specializes in shoes. They're going to need to have better shoes and be measured for shoes and have good ones for the rest of their life. Otherwise, the wound is going to keep coming back over and over again. And it's really hard to heal something that's getting pounded to death.
Exactly.
By them walking on it.
And it's estimated that the pressure on a foot wound is about 1.5 times your weight. So if a person's 200 pounds, that's about 300 pounds of pressure. And most of our patients don't have feeling in their feet.
No. And they have no idea what kind of damage they're doing to them. And they can't reach them either. I mean, if you think about how much some of these patients weigh, they can't see the bottom of their feet. And they don't have a long mirror to look at it.
Right. It's very difficult. So when I think about offloading, we can cast, we can have ankle foot orthotics or a special boot made, and there are people that do that. They make a living doing that.
Sure.
There's some simple things they can do. You can do crutches, you can do knee scooters, but the bottom line is they just can't keep doing the same thing.
They have to get off of it.
That's right. You have to get off And that's hard if you have to work, because you have bills paying,
sure,
you know, that pile up. But yeah, it's so important for offloading. And then let's talk about nutrition from a standpoint of a wound care person. What do you tell people in terms of nutrition?
Well, I tell patients in the hospital that the average person anywhere out on the street that thinks they're eating a healthy, balanced diet is probably getting 45 to 50 grams of protein a day if they're lucky and if they're actually eating well. Patients need at least 1.5 to 2 times that amount of protein to properly heal a wound. If we think about the fact that every single cell in our body, that the first ingredient is the derivatives of protein, well, how are you going to make new tissue if you're not getting enough protein to do that? Because your body needs more to heal that wound. And when I tell them how much protein is in, you know, common foods, you know, like a chicken breast or a half a cup of cottage cheese or something like that, they're actually quite shocked at how much food they're really going to need to eat in order to get the amount of protein that's required for them to have adequate wound healing. And almost every patient can tolerate getting 90 to 100 grams of protein. And the old wives' tale that, you know, that's going to hurt their kidneys is exactly that. It's an old wives' tale.
Yeah. It's interesting that when you think about what holds us together structurally, it's really our collagen or the proteins, right?
Right.
And so if you think about how you're going to heal a wound, it's going to take collagen, and then you ingest that. Your body chops it up with enzymes. You absorb it. And then you make another piece of collagen, and that's what holds you together. So it's kind of a simple thing. And I like to think about it like making a pickup truck, let's say. There's an assembly line, and if you don't have the right tools and the right maybe an engine or the tires, well, then the whole assembly line stops.
Right.
But if you are eating the right amount of protein, your body can continue to make new cells, new collagen, and continue to heal. So that protein is really important. And then also the vitamins and minerals and so forth. So a good, well-balanced diet. Now, if I'm a diabetic, is increasing my protein going to really cause a problem with my diabetes and my sugar?
Absolutely not. It's actually probably going to help it, because especially if you pick good sources of protein. And that's one of the things that we have done much better about in the dietitian world, in the nutrition world. We now have a number of choices of protein shakes, whether you are a meat eater, whether you're a vegan or a vegetarian. A lot of these protein supplements will have as much as 30 grams of protein in a shake and have only 1 gram of sugar or 5 grams of carbs, and that's nothing. I mean, even for a diabetic, one serving of carb is considered 15 grams. Most people don't know these numbers and they aren't aware of that. So getting a nutrition consult while the patient's in the hospital and making them really understand what they're putting in their body. Yeah, you might like that bag of, you know, Chips Ahoy cookies, but it's not doing a darn thing for you but making your sugar bad. So, yeah. You know, it's tough sometimes, though. And I know the cost of things can be an issue as well. There's a lot of these protein shakes that are not as high cost as others. We have many recommendations we can make to patients that they can afford to be compliant with.
So diabetic education is important.
Absolutely.
And the protein, if I remember right, to try and make one glucose out of protein is very, very difficult to make energy out of it.
Yeah.
So it helps to stabilize the sugars, too, as far as that
it
goes.
Does. Yeah. It helps with the insulin resistance, even if you increase protein intake and lower carbohydrate intake. It's all a win-win.
It's a win-win. That's right. So we've gone over debridement, making sure that we have good arterial inflow, offloading, and now nutrition. And then what about consistency? You know, for patients who have a wound, the difficult thing I see is just the consistency of, it's easy to do it day one, but how about day 30?
Right.
So it's giving encouragement in that regard.
Yeah, and I think that's another benefit of patients going to the wound care center rather than just trying to be managed at home by a home health nurse who's coming in 2 or 3 times a week. Because if we all keep reinforcing the same instructions to patients and they keep getting told the same things and we keep emphasizing what's important, sooner or later they're finally going to get it. And there's nothing better than having a patient who's had wounds in the past that either caused amputations or they have family members who had amputations, and they get their wound healed and they're like, oh my God, there really is something to all this stuff that you've been preaching at me. And then they can start spreading the word. And there's nothing better than seeing the light go on to these people and them realizing that there really is something to all this, that we're not just preaching to hear ourselves talk.
It is interesting to see success, and then that kind of helps someone stay on the path and keep going in that direction for sure.
Yeah.
You know, we, in this little corner of Northwest Arkansas, we had a tornado recently.
Yes.
It was a pretty devastating weather pattern for sure. Have you seen some problems, some wounds from that this week?
We actually had a couple who came in who the place they were living in was destroyed and they were trapped for a couple of days.
Oh,
and they had some pretty interesting wounds, but they actually did quite well because they were going to be going to stay with a family member temporarily that wasn't going to be here close by, but they were able to get some help. But you know, that's one of the things that we have to take into consideration when we're sending patients home with treatment. Mm-hmm. Whether home health is doing it or not, it's like, do they have running water? Do they have electricity? Do they have a way to clean things? Well, there are substitutions for some of this stuff that can be done temporarily, but just getting patients the right, you know, supplies to use makes a big difference. And we have the luxury of having all of that at our fingertips in the hospital and in the wound care center. So patients don't have to wrap their wound in paper towels and clean it with just, you know, ivory soap and hope that that's going to be okay.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had one gentleman who we've seen for quite a while, and he said that there were windows blowing out and that there were actual pots and pans dancing around in his with the wind in his kitchen. And so it was saw some interesting things, and people who had like a log fall on them, you know, a tree or something, as they were trying to clean up their house or get a tree off their house. So yeah, we've had an interesting time this last few weeks here.
Oh, sure. And people with probably got foot injuries, if they have neuropathy, they're out trying to clean up all that stuff out of their yard, and there's no telling what they stepped on, and they didn't even know it until it became a problem.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that diabetics in particular forget, is that daily foot inspection is of the utmost importance. If you can't reach your feet, get a mirror with a long handle on it. Do something. Check your feet. Make sure they're okay. Look at your socks when you take them off.
There's nothing funny about a wound, but there are some funny circumstances. And I know one of my patients is, he calls himself the Hot Wheel guy, because his grandkids put a Hot Wheel in his shoe. He put his shoe on and walked all day, and then that night had a bloody sock. So we've had keys in shoes, so you want to, if you can't feel your foot, you have to really think about those things. Can you, do you have any stories like that?
Oh my gosh, yes. Because I've worked in wound care centers in addition to the hospital, and I've had patients actually come in with tacks still stuck in the bottom of their foot. I have fished out a piece of glass. I've fished out a piece of fish hook, staples. Gosh, so many different things. Yeah. Even just big splinters from weeds out in their yard can cause infection.
Yeah, I took out a needle. It was a sewing needle, and it somehow it just had fallen on the in the carpet. It wasn't visible, and the person couldn't feel it, but it was stuck in their foot. And a screw from a construction site. Guy came in with his boot, and we took the boot off, and there was a screw still in his foot. So that was kind of interesting. Yeah,
I'm not surprised. People don't understand just how severe neuropathy is.
Yeah. So and looking at your foot every day, pretty important.
It's
right?
Very important.
Yeah. Yeah. So Donna, if someone's not in the hospital, let's say they walking around and they notice, I have a hole in my foot. I'm a diabetic and I have a foot wound. What would you suggest that they do?
Well, I would tell them to call their primary care physician and ask for a referral to the wound care center, because it really is important that they get to someone who is knowledgeable about wounds and really knows what to do about them, rather than asking a family member or going to an urgent care or somewhere like that, because they're not going to get the best treatment that way. They're not going to get the best advice that way. Primary care physicians are happy to refer these patients to specialists, and I think that's better than waiting until the wound gets infected and they do end up in the hospital and get the wound treated. So most of us that live in this area, especially patients that come to Mercy, they've got a My Mercy account. They can send a message to their provider. They don't even have to call them or go to the office to get a referral. It's super easy to do.
Yeah. So this would be a patient that doesn't have a fever. They don't have red streaks. If you have red streaks, ER is appropriate.
They need to seek care, yes.
But if you don't have red streaks, you can get into a wound center and then have someone who has expertise in that area start the process and get you fixed up.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's interesting that there are a large number of people who discover they have diabetes and discover they have arterial disease because they get a wound that they try to take care of themselves at home, and then they figure out after a couple of weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks and it's not healing, they finally decide to go see somebody about it, and that's when they find out that they have all these things wrong with them. And it's like, you know, think about all the time they've wasted trying to heal something when, you know, after a couple of days, if it's not showing market improvement, you need to go see somebody about it.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. And then let's think about just a little bit about that person who finds out that they do have diabetes. What are some of the things that you tell them in terms of what can they do? Who should they go see? you have any ideas about that?
Yeah, I do. I actually was diagnosed with diabetes myself in 1998, and my primary care physician managed it for a number of years, and he did a fabulous job of doing it. And he sent me, he got me on medication so that I could get my A1C down. He sent me to a dietitian so that I could learn how to eat properly. He told me to make an appointment to go see a podiatrist because he said if you're a diabetic, you should see a podiatrist at least once a year and have a good thorough foot examination. And I did all of that. And the one thing that patients need to understand is if your A1C is, you know, 14 or 15, which we've seen, you know, you and I have seen this in patients, which is ridiculously high, because for people out there who don't know, good control for a diabetic is considered under 7. So if you've got a really, really high A1C, then you're making it very, very hard for your body to heal a wound. But don't give up hope and don't think that if your A1C is that high that we can't help you, because even a 1% increase of your A1C over a month or two is going to lead to another 1% increase over that next month or two. You can go see an endocrinologist if you need a specialist if it can't be controlled. But all of that stuff is not going to happen overnight. People didn't become a diabetic overnight, and it's not going to get treated and controlled overnight, but they've got to start somewhere.
But you have to start somewhere.
It's important.
And it's never too late.
No, absolutely not.
It's never too late. It's always good. And it's estimated that when the blood sugars are up in the 160, 170 range, you're really not healing as well as you could.
Well, not to mention that, they're doing damage to their brain cells. They're doing damage to their kidney cells, to their heart cells. Everything is affected by not managing diabetes.
Yeah.
So it's just the gift that keeps on giving and snowballs down that hill really fast if you don't manage it.
It sure does. And we're going to actually talk to an endocrinologist, and I think it'll be very interesting to really get their perspective from that science perspective and how they look at things and so forth.
Oh, absolutely, because I have a patient's and a nurse's perspective of it, but not a specialist, and the two are very different.
Yeah. Well, Donna, this has been great. You are the first guest on the Wound Wrap podcast, and we get to work together every day, one way or another, whether we actually talk or just send messages back and forth. You're an amazing person, and thank you so much for being a part of this. Thank you for helping people.
I appreciate it. And thank you for being there when I need you, because God only knows I've got somebody good to send them to when they leave my care. And I feel good about that, because I don't like just sending them out into the world lost.
Donna, we're always there for you.
Thank you.
Well, that's a wrap. A wound wrap. Follow us. Continue to watch for new podcasts coming out. We'll be trying to put out one podcast a week, looking at all kinds of things, and hope you have a great week.
You're listening to Wound Wrap with Dr. Doug Friesen on the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.